Okay, so let's get into it. Today we're doing a deep dive on something that is well, it's a huge source of anxiety for so many people. That moment you realize your hair is thinning.
Oh, yeah. We all know
Which
the weird
don't
moment.
exactly. Maybe you're under those, horrible fluorescent lights in a department
I'm
store,
worse.
and you just see more scalp than you thought you had. Or maybe it's the hair in the shower drain.
Or the classic, you look at an old photo and think, wow, my hairline. It used to be a lot straighter than that. That little M shape is starting to creep in.
It's a real hit to the self-esteem, and it
Yeah.
sends you scrambling for solutions.
It does. And there's so much noise out there, so many miracle cures.
Which is why we're here. Our mission today is to just cut right through all that noise, using the sources you've provided, and focus on what the science actually says, what really makes a difference.
Right. Whether you're trying to stop it in its tracks or you just want what you have to look a bit thicker. And we should say up front, embracing it is a totally valid, strong look.
Absolutely. But if you're in the fight, there are real strategies. So, where do we start? What does thick hair even mean, scientifically?
That's the perfect place to start, because it's not just one thing. The sources break it down into two measurable parts. First, you have the individual strand width, so the actual diameter of a single hair.
And I'm guessing that varies a lot from person to person.
Massively. The human range is pretty staggering, actually. It can be anywhere from 17 to about 180 micrometers.
Wait, a tenfold difference? For context, how small is a micrometer?
It's 1/1000th of a millimeter. So we're talking about microscopic differences that add up to a huge visual and textual change.
And that's mostly just luck of the draw genetically.
It's mostly genetics, yeah.
Yeah.
But your health and what you eat, that helps you reach your full genetic potential. And then the second factor, which is arguably more important for how it looks, is hair density.
So just how many hairs you have packed into one spot?
Exactly. The number of strands per square inch. And here's the kicker from the source material. You're born with every single hair follicle you will ever have.
So that number is fixed from day one.
Fixed, but 100,000 on average.
Yeah.
So as your head, as you grow from a baby to an adult, your scalp gets bigger.
But the number of follicles stays the same, so they naturally spread out.
That's it. It's like stretching a canvas. The density just naturally goes down over your lifetime, even before any kind of hair loss kicks in.
So now that we know what we're aiming for, let's talk about the big culprits. Why does it start to thin out beyond that natural process?
Well, you have general causes like poor nutrition, maybe some vitamin deficiencies, but a really big one, an acute trigger, is stress.
Ah, of course. How does being stressed actually make your hair fall out?
It can trigger something called telogen effluvium. It's basically a shock to your system that pushes a whole bunch of your hair follicles into the resting or telogen phase all at once.
So they stop growing and just fall out a few months later.
That's the pattern. The good news is it's usually temporary. You manage the stress, and the growth cycle tends to correct itself.
Okay, so that's temporary. But what about the permanent kind? The one we all know as male pattern baldness.
Right. Androgenetic alopecia. And the scale of this is, it's huge. The sources say it affects up to 85% of men to some degree by the time they're 50.
85%. That's not a bug. That's a feature of aging for most men, then.
Pretty much. And it's not about being unhealthy. It's a specific programmed hormonal process.
And what's the hormone behind it all?
It all comes down to one main thing, dihydrotestosterone.
DHT.
Yep, DHT. It's a more potent version of testosterone, basically. It's created when an enzyme in your body meets up with regular testosterone.
So what does DHT do to the hair follicles in people who are susceptible?
It causes something called follicle miniaturization. This is the key. The DHT attaches to receptors in the follicle, and it basically starts to starve it.
Starve it? How?
It shrinks the follicle.
Yeah.
So with each new hair growth cycle, the active growing phase gets shorter and shorter. The hair that comes out is a little thinner, a little weaker, a little shorter.
So it's not that the hair is falling out faster, it's that the hair being produced is worse.
Exactly. The quality degrades. And eventually, the follicle shrinks so much that it just closes up shop. It stops producing a visible hair altogether.
And that's what creates the bald spot or the receding hairline.
That's the process.
Yeah.
And the cruel joke, which the sources point out, is that DHT loves to attack the hair on your scalp, but it leaves your back hair or your nose hair completely alone.
Of course it does.
A biological oversight, I guess.
Okay, that makes sense. Which brings us perfectly to a myth that just will not die.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Does shaving your head make your hair grow back thicker?
And the answer, from every scientific source, is a hard no. It just doesn't.
But it feels like it does. Everyone who's done it says the stubble feels thicker. Why is that?
It's because of what you're cutting. When you shave, you're only cutting the hair shaft that's above the skin. It's already dead tissue.
You're not interacting with the root at all.
Not at all. It has zero biological impact on the follicle, which is deep in the scalp. So the illusion comes from the shape of the hair.
How so?
A normal hair tapers to a fine point.
Yes.
When you shave it, you slice it off at its thickest part, right at the base. So the stubble that grows back is blunt and feels coarser.
Ah, so you're feeling the thick stump of the hair instead of the soft tip.
Precisely. And it also looks darker because it hasn't been bleached by the sun yet. It's a really powerful optical illusion.
That makes so much sense. Okay, so if we can't just shave it off and hope for the best, what are the real strategies? Let's start with the foundation. Nutrition.
Right. Bedrock stuff. Your hair is over 90% protein. Specifically, a protein called keratin.
So if you're not getting enough protein, your body's going to prioritize other things over hair growth.
Absolutely. Organs first, hair last. And it's not just any protein. The sources mentioned specific amino acids are crucial. Things like cysteine, lysine, methionine.
The building blocks.
The literal building blocks of keratin. If you're low on those, the hair you make will be brittle and weak.
And what about vitamins? I always hear about biotin.
Biotin is a big one, yeah. It's vitamin B7. But really, the whole family of B vitamins is important, B12 especially. Plus vitamins D and E. They all play a role in the infrastructure of healthy hair cells.
Okay, so this leads to a really important warning that was all over the source material.
Yes, and we have to be really clear about this.
Don't just go out and buy a bunch of supplements.
Please don't. You should always talk to a doctor first. Get some blood work done. You might have specific deficiency, or there could be another underlying medical issue causing the hair loss.
Good point. Okay, diet's in check. What about what we put on our hair? Shampoos, oils, that kind of thing.
You can definitely support it from the outside. Volumizing shampoos are a great temporary fix. They coat the hair shaft with polymers to make each strand feel thicker.
So it's a cosmetic effect, but it works for appearances.
It does. And then you have some products that try to nourish the scalp, but you have to be careful with things like dry shampoo.
Oh, I thought that was great for volume.
It is for a quick lift. But the sources warn that if you use it too much, the product buildup can actually clog your follicles, which is not what you want.
Right. You want them to be able to breathe. And what about all the home remedies, like olive oil?
Oils like olive and argan oil are full of nutrients and fatty acids. They're great for adding moisture and shine, which can make your hair look healthier and reduce breakage. They're not going to regrow hair, but they'll improve the quality of what you have.
And just being gentler in general seems to be a theme.
Massively important. Don't rip through it with a towel. Be careful when it's wet and at its weakest.
Mm-hmm.
And don't over shampoo. You'll strip away all the natural protective oils.
So we've got internal and external care down. Now for the visual tricks, the styling.
This is maybe the quickest, most effective fix. A good haircut can make a world of difference.
Right, working with what you've got.
Exactly. Changing your part, using a mousse to add some lift at the root. A good stylist who understands thinning hair is worth their weight in gold. Even the combover, you know, at its core, is a strategic choice.
It is a strategy, for sure. And the other big tactical move is hair color.
This is a really clever one, because it works in two ways.
How so?
First, the dye itself literally swells and coats the hair strand, so it physically increases that individual strand width we talked about. It makes each hair thicker.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that.
And second, if you choose a color that's closer to your scalp color, it reduces the contrast.
Making the thinning less obvious, dark hair on a pale scalp is a spotlight.
Exactly. You close that gap in color, and the thin spots just, they blend in more.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. But for the people dealing with that progressive hormonal loss,
yeah,
we need to talk about the medical big guns.
Right. This is where you get into the clinically proven stuff. And the first stop for most people is over-the-counter.
Rogaine.
Rogaine. The active ingredient is minoxidil. And the sources were clear. Double-blind, placebo-controlled studies show that it works. It can regrow hair.
How does it work? Is it stopping the DHT?
It's actually not. Minoxidil is a vasodilator. It was originally a blood pressure drug.
So it widens blood vessels.
Right. When you put it on your scalp, it increases blood flow and nutrient delivery to the follicles. This seems to wake up the miniaturized ones and extend their active growth phase.
So it's like a rescue mission for the starving follicles. But I hear there's a catch.
There is. It can take up to 6 months to see results, and you have to use it forever. If you stop.
The new hair falls out.
The new hair falls out. It's a real commitment.
Okay, what's the next step up? Prescription medication.
Now you're talking about things like Propecia, which has the active ingredient finasteride.
And this one does go after DHT, right?
Yes. This is the defensive approach. Finasteride is a 5-alpha reductase inhibitor. It blocks the enzyme that converts testosterone into DHT in the first place.
So you're lowering the amount of the damaging hormone in your scalp.
You're cutting it off at the source. It's very effective at slowing down or even stopping further hair loss. It's more of a prevention tool than a regrowth tool, though.
It holds the line.
It holds the line. And finally, if you want a more permanent solution, there's the surgical option.
Hair transplants, which have gotten way better than they used to be.
Oh, worlds better.
Yeah.
They can transplant individual follicles from the back and sides of your head, the areas that are resistant to DHT, to the thinning areas on top.
Yeah.
It's very effective.
But as the source noted, it costs a pretty penny.
It is definitely an investment. But for some, it's worth it for a permanent result without daily medication.
Okay, so let's pull this all together. We started with that feeling of panic, but what we've really unpacked is a whole toolkit of options.
Exactly. The main takeaway here is that you're not helpless. From the amino acids in your diet to the way you part your hair to actual medical interventions, there's so many things you can do.
Thinning is manageable. It's a process you can engage with.
Which brings us to a final thought, something to really chew on that came from the end of the source material.
Okay.
You now have this whole spectrum of options, right? Mm. Everything from massaging your scalp with oil to lifelong medication to surgery, a path of constant, careful maintenance.
Right. The fight.
But there's always the other option, the ultimate fallback.
Acceptance.
So letting it go. Just letting it go. And that leaves you with a really fundamental question to ask yourself. Which path aligns with your goals?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the diligent, extensive maintenance regimen? Or is it finding a new kind of freedom and confidence in just embracing the look?
Something to think about. A real choice to be made.